The Office of Personnel Management is all in for the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, or CDM, to improve cybersecurity. But CDM's rate of implementation in general is causing a problem for OPM. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to discuss why OPM and potentially other agencies are being put in such a tough situation. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so it would be understandable that OPM would be really into continuous diagnostics and monitoring, considering what's been, or mitigation, especially mitigation, considering what's happened there. So why is this a challenge for them?
Well, it's not so much the technologies and the tools are the challenge, but it's the rate of implementation that's causing OPM and again, potentially other agencies, a lot of kind of decision making that's going to happen today because of the way DHS and GSA are implementing the program and its contractors. So OPM is in the first group called Group B. Group A was just DHS headquarters. Group B was OPM, VA, Transportation, Energy, USDA, Executive Office of the President. And all those agencies are getting this first set of tools and technologies in first. So what has to happen is DHS and the contractor for Group B in this case is Booz Allen Hamilton needs to configure, needs to set up, needs to do all this work. So really the tools won't be in place until the springtime, March or April. Well, OPM and several other agencies need those tools now, and they have other tools that they have bought in the meantime or before CDM was in place, and they have to make a decision whether or not they need to renew those tools that they bought on their own or wait for CDM. And that puts them in a bit of a quandary.
So CDM then is embodied by a set of tools that are standardized that Homeland Security is using?
Correct. Now, the goal is if all these tools are within the same set of agencies, you can and really across the government, no matter which vendor puts them in, they're all going to be very similar, if not the same tools. They all can feed into a dashboard so you can get a really sense of how not only how that agency is doing, but how the government is doing. So that's a cool. Make sure everyone is starting at least at a specific baseline.
Because it would seem logical if it works at DHS and they have worked out the kinks, you know, as Group A, as you put it, and getting this tool set to work and fuel the dashboard and actually mitigate after continuously diagnosing, then it should be able to scale quickly agency by agency. So what is the missing gap here?
Well, because so many agencies have such complex systems and networks, it's not just a plug and play. You'd hope it would be like that. But, you know, agriculture's network is different than transportation's, which is different than the Executive Office of the President's, which is, of course, different than OPM. So it's not just a one and done. It's, yes, we know that the tools will work, but how they work and the configuration we need them to be at will have to be different. I mean, I think OPM and all these other agencies probably are hoping for the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% is the same, but that other 20% is that longest mile. I mean, Tom, what do you run marathons, the middle mile, the last mile is the hardest one or something?
Well, yeah, it's a 20-mile run followed by an incredibly difficult 10K at the end is the way they put it. So, yeah, you can get so far, and then it gets to be a slog, well, at least for the amateurs like me. So what is OPM doing to solve this challenge? I mean, they've got this tool set, and so what activity is going on there?
So Jeff Wagner, who is the director of IT security operations, spoke last week at a conference, and basically he said, we're looking at the tools and making risk-based decisions, and then once we decide which tools can we wait for and which tools can we live without, and then which tools we need right away. And the ones that they need right away, they just are going to have to renew for another year with the idea that CDM tools will replace them sometime in the spring time frame, again, March or April. But that is costing them extra money that maybe they weren't planning for or maybe they had hoped to spend somewhere else. I mean, especially at OPM, which requested $37 million more for IT upgrades. That's on top of a $21 million increase. So OPM was looking for a lot of extra money. So every little bit helps. Now, could you only imagine, Tom, at other agencies, again, much bigger, much more complex than OPM, those costs are actually going to be much higher. And those decisions are also very critical.
So those costs basically then are for software licenses, which is a continuous cost that you have to renew year after year.
Correct. Software licenses and potentially services as well. I mean, sometimes the software you buy, then the vendor comes in and monitors and tells you what's going on, feeds it into maybe an agency dashboard that you already have. So it there's multiple costs, and they're not cheap. I mean, cyber tools are a hot commodity. We know that. There's a ton of companies who have cyber offerings. So it's a lot of competition, but there's a lot of interest in agencies, especially as you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, in light of the OPM attack. Everyone is re-looking at, do I have the right tools in place? What other tools can I put in place? And how long until I get CDM?
Now, the CDM program under DHS is a blanket purchase agreement, correct?
Correct.
For a number of tools. So the question, I guess, is, are the tools that OPM has purchased and is paying licensing for, are those part of that BPA, or are they coming? I mean, there's many more vendors than can be included in any given BPA.
Right. So it's not necessarily a one for one, but for instance, you know, take asset management as one tool, just as an example. OPM may have company X's tool, and CDM may be company Y's tool, and DHS and GSA decided that company Y is better than company X, but OPM can't be without an asset management tool, so they can't just give up on company X just because company Y is better. They still need to renew company X until DHS, Booz Allen Hamilton are ready to implement company Y. I know it's a little complicated, but does that make sense, Tom?
It does make sense. I mean, I guess the question is, under the BPA, under the CDM program, I mean, are agencies required to somehow in writing justify when they choose tools that are not under CDM for the purposes of CDM, small c, small d, small m? Just as if, you know, sometimes agencies need justification for going outside of mandatory contracts, there's always that out mechanism. So I guess how mandatory is the official CDM program from Homeland Security?
Well, because Congress gave DHS about $180 million and DHS is paying for this first round of tools, it's pretty hard not to not to use them. Because remember, if OPM says, well, we really love Company X's tool and they've just upgraded, we're going to stay with them and not use CDM, DHS may say, fine, but that's on your dime, and we'll take back the X amount of millions of dollars that we were going to give you to pay for a Company Y's tool, which has been approved under CDM. So the carrot, if you will, is the money. And in fact, this type of carrot is something that a lot of people are looking at, both for shared services and for cloud computing. I know we go down, that's a whole different path, but I think this model that Congress came up with, that DHS came up with, is actually very strong as a motivator to use this approved set of tools and services.
So I guess we have to presume that in doing this, Congress had sufficient wisdom to understand that the tools that it was authorizing and paying for under CDM would in fact be sufficient to cover whatever technical situation an agency has.
Well, I think Congress trusted DHS and GSA to do their job. I don't think anyone in Congress understands the tools and technologies of cybersecurity, but I think what DHS and GSA made their case was, listen, we can get the best of the best, make sure the agencies have it, at least as a baseline, and then we can build from there, and that in and of itself will help raise all boats across the government when it comes to cybersecurity.
All right, so OPM at this point then is an outlier, but they want to kind of get back in under the tent the next time
it's not so much. It's not so much that they're an outlier. I mean, they're happy. Again, they're all in on cybersecurity, the CDM tools. It's a budget issue because the budget and implementation are not matching up. So OPM has to make decisions now to renew tools. And the new tools that they're really looking forward to are not going to be ready until March or April. So it's not that they said CDM is not for us, but they can't go without this set of tools and wait for CDM. They can't be zero. They got to be at least one.
So they can't go naked all winter, in other words, waiting for this tool to come through. All right. And so are there other agencies in that same situation that want to go with tools that need to do them now? I guess they all need to do them now.
Right.
But they have. But the CDM isn't there to be plucked off the tree yet.
And that's why I think this is not just an OPM problem. This is definitely a quandary that every agency is facing. And again, the more complex the network, whether, again, transportation, energy, USDA, whomever, the more tools they have, the more decisions they have to make, the more risk they have to decide how much to accept. And if the CDM tools may not be ready until, again, March or April, and this is not just an OPM issue. It's not like DHS will get transportation's tools ready in October and energy's tools ready in September. I think that they're all going through a very similar process. It all takes a certain amount of time to get them set up, integrated, and ready to go in the network. So I think every agency in Group B and going forward really is going to have to make decisions about whether or not they need to renew a certain set of tools, or do they keep the ones they have, or do they wait for OPM, for DHS?
All right, Jason, since we're talking about OPM, I wanted to bring up another story that you have posted this morning at federalnewsradio.com, and that is the one where several senators are questioning the federal payroll providers, the shared services providers that are federal agencies, their efforts to protect federal employees' identities. It sounds like they see other potential OPM-type situations coming up here.
Or at least, if not other potential OPM situations, at least something that's connected to OPM situations. Now, the big concern is there's four payroll providers, GSA, who actually just left the payroll world, but still was one for several years. Interior, National Finance Center at USDA, DOD's Defense Finance and Accounting Service, and the National Business Center, obviously, at Interior. And what the concern from Senators Orrin Hatch and Ron Wyden is how those payroll providers are providing the Social Security Administration and state agencies what they call tax and wage statements, how quickly they're coming, how accurate they are, because a lot of tax fraud happens when people file fraudulent records to get refunds using, and the data is incomplete, so the state agency or the federal agency doesn't have all the data to make a decision. And without having all that data, they're putting money out the door. And then there's obviously it's tax fraud is being committed. So what Senators Hatch and Wyden did was they wrote to these four shared service providers and basically said, how are you doing this? We've heard from others that you're not doing a good job. Tell us how you're doing it. Tell us what problems you've had and what you're doing going forward. And I think this is interesting because of the OPM hack. They're so much worried about identity theft. You can only imagine if someone gets a hold of a federal employee identity, and then the numbers don't match, for instance, what's coming from the government, if they come at all, and that's another complaint, that they're not sending the information, the tax and wage statements at all. The fraud could easily be committed at the state level for, you know, state taxes refund.
Yes, what we know, I guess, is that those people, that those shadowy people that try to get false refunds from false identities do so very early in the tax cycle before people have gotten out of bed and filed their tax returns properly, the legitimate ones.
Right.
And so that's why the timeliness matter is so important, kind of like here again, a mismatch of need and timeliness among agencies.
Correct. And I think that because there's, 22 million federal, former and current federal employees who have had their identities at least compromised, I think that's why this becomes a bigger concern for these members of Congress. And so the other thing is, they just wrote this letter on August 24th, and they expect a turnaround by August 31st. So they're putting a very big priority on it, says we want this information right away. I don't imagine, because of the scale of the shared service providers, they're going to turn it around in 7 days.
I guess maybe the question is, why do they, quote unquote, provide that information to the tax agency and from Social Security? Why isn't this all automated? Once you become a federal employee and you are in the system, shouldn't your payroll information go to the IRS and match up with Social Security, on January 1st every year?
That makes logical sense. Does the question I would throw back at you, Tom, is that automated for every company? I mean, our companies you've worked for, I don't know if that's automated or not. I don't know how that works.
I don't know, but I mean, it's all within the family when it's the case of the federal government. But again, that's just thinking logically. And when it comes to these things, is it ever logical?
But we know that sometimes that the federal government doesn't act as one family. I mean, we've seen, just as a total aside, there needs to be computer matching agreements between, for instance, OPM and the IRS on things, or between SSA and the IRS, or there's laws that stand in the way of agencies being able to share data that, they've gone to Congress and be like, we need this change for these reasons. And Congress either has or hasn't done it, or it's in the middle of doing it. And I think that's a usual, unfortunately, way things have grown up over the last, few decades.
Yeah, they get the little things right, but not the big ones, I guess, maybe is the best way to put Congress there on the block. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.